shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. We should probably also, I mean to do this every week, is thank Cody Wolf for that intro music, which makes me laugh every time I listen back to an episode, especially with the great, with Jack's Nicolas Cage impression is in there. We have a Mark Wahlberg impression in there.
Yeah, Rocket.
Rocket is in there. Yeah, always enjoy that every time I hear it. I'm Alex Dunbar. I am curating this podcast this week. I am joined by Cody Wolf.
Coffee!
Jack Estabrook.
Dante's Peak. Surely you must be joking.
Okay. And Brian Mueller.
I was going to make a coffee joke too, but now I can't.
You could say, thank you, NASA! Thank you, NASA! Thank you, NASA! If you wanted to. Coffee!
As soon as I heard that line, I was like, yep, that is the catchphrase we've all been waiting for. Our movie this week is 1997's Dante's Peak. Starring the Braz, Pierce Brosnan, and Linda Hamilton.
Yes.
As someone who regularly listens to this podcast said to me this week, wait, didn't you guys already do a movie about a guy who travels to a remote town for work, meets a lady, and it's essentially a romance movie where a volcano also blows up? And I realized, yeah, this is sort of a modern day Pompeii, but no horses had their necks broken by the lead character.
There are no carriage races through the town.
That
would have been awesome if Kiefer Sutherland showed up as her ex-husband.
This movie did have less accent.
What are you
issues.
Doing, Pierce? This is my lady.
Normally we say this for the end, but I'm going to say it right up front. I had a blast watching this movie. I laughed all the way through it. Maybe it's volcano movies that do it to me. I don't know what it is, but
enjoyed the heck out of it. My theory is that Linda Hamilton is playing her Terminator character.
That's a very real possibility.
She went back in time and was like, listen, I'm through with all this time travel stuff and all this like saving the world. I'm just going to be this quiet little coffee barista in small
Slash
town
mayor.
Washington or Idaho, wherever they are, and just live out my days.
There is nothing in this movie that would say that her son is not John Connor.
Yeah.
And that this didn't happen shortly before the events of Terminator 2.
This is what gave him the courage to become a hero.
Absolutely. This would seamlessly fit in the Terminator chronology.
Watching his grandmother get boiled in acid.
Yeah, I was just going to say, seeing his family getting, ripped to pieces by the volcano.
His father disappeared, Kyle Reese, right? She didn't tell him about his father because he was this crazy person from the future. He wouldn't believe that.
I'm telling you, this is the unofficial Terminator movie. Okay, so let's go into this. The movie starts right off with people evacuating a town where a volcano has gone off.
Because it's like a guy like carrying a crucifix. Like, it's
Jesus. We get,
there's like a horse. Like, is this supposed to fool us into thinking it's Pompeii?
I don't know, because it's a giant
crucifix.
There's
actually,
it's not like a church is being evacuated and like a priest is carrying like the valuables out of the church.
No, it's 6 foot.
There's like
wooden,
a skinny guy with the ripped up clothes, like pulling a cross. Like,
you didn't read that version of the Bible where Jesus died in a terrible volcanic ash.
I get a kick out of this too, because if you watch this scene, the level of panic of people evacuating really fluctuates. Some people are really panicked, others are sort of just moving at like a brisk pace.
I was confused at first too, because you mentioned the horse scene from Pompeii. At one point there was someone riding on a horse.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Yeah.
I did think that it was like a flashback or whatever to Pompeii for like a couple of seconds until I saw like cars driving and stuff. It's like, this is modern. This is something modern day, but I thought it was since the beginning of time, volcanoes have been blowing up. And
they wanted to show how primitive the area was by showing cars and horses.
Is this some kind of cinematic cliche, volcanoes and horses, that's just going over our heads here?
I don't know. Well, I think they were trying to show like that this was another sort of remote mountain town, but it was very confusing.
Yeah.
This sequence was, until you
and
see
later
Pierce
on,
Brosnan,
well,
like,
he explains,
full spaz.
Yeah. He
you
explains
know.
It later, but this scene did not need to be in the movie whatsoever.
Well, and it does involve the only thing it really establishes. So you see full spaz Pierce Brosnan. He's grabbing a bunch of equipment. gets his wife slash girlfriend, never really established.
No, not really.
I think he says they were engaged.
They're engaged. Okay. Yeah. So they were sort of between wife and girlfriend. Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Gets her into a car. They're leaving the town, and this volcano is blowing up. And I don't want to laugh at this, but it is funny. A hot rock comes through the roof of the car and hits her on the head.
I don't think I've ever seen this death in a movie before.
And this is how she dies. And I'm just sitting here going,
and then,
really?
But then Brosnan's like cradling her body, crying like, no! While driving with the other hand through a panicked village town with horses and peddlers in the street, ash falling down like snow. No! She's like driving. I was like, this is the opening of this movie?
Well, and
like,
also,
I thought at first that this was like the end of the movie, and then we're going to do one of those things where you see the ending first, and then the whole point of the movie is to see how they got to that point. But I was, again, I was like, why did they.
Well, I think they were trying to just establish the idea of that the Pierce Brosnan character.
Well, he's got experience in volcanic situations.
Yes. Yeah, basically. And he's like the Quint in that he's very nervous about, you know, and Quint and Jaws.
I kept flashing back to Jaws.
Yeah. There's a lot of Jaws.
The public, obviously, there's always a public festival whenever some massive disaster happens in these movies.
But here's the thing I wanted to bring up. This is not a documentary. And they're making a movie about a volcano eruption. And the best way they could find to kill a character was a hot rock coming through the roof of a car and hit her. They could have had it like where she fell into a lava flow and Pierce Brosnan couldn't hold on. There's so many cooler things they could have done than a random hot rock hitting her. It felt like... Like this, I was like, "Is this based on a real story? Like, why would that be the way she died?" Yeah,
it's just handled awkwardly, and because he later tells the story to Linda Hamilton, it makes no sense to even show it, and it doesn't drive any of his motivations whatsoever, except to show that he's just exceptionally nervous about this volcano erupting. But you could just say that because he's seen it before. You don't even need
right.
Like he could have like seen a school get doused in lava.
Jeez,
it would have been the same effect. You know,
wow,
it's a movie. We're not talking about real people.
Go see a nursery burned to the ground.
It's a movie. It's not real.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I think they could have done something cooler if that's
ramp
the point
the
they
violence,
wanted to
Cody.
Establish.
Ramp up the violence. That was not too violent. I want kittens and puppies and children burning. I want a nun in there too. I want them to scream in agony. And I want Pierce Brosnan to be like, no. And I want them to hold it for like 20 minutes. Oh.
You should remake this movie, Jack.
I should.
So now we flash forward. That was a flashback to like, I don't know, like.
It was 4 years earlier.
4 years earlier. So now
so
we're.
1993? I guess.
Yeah, we'll say that. It's a contemporary film. So.
And so now we flash forward to 1997.
It is a contemporary film.
It's very, very contemporary.
Well, there's nothing that says that this takes place in another time that's not when it was made, is what I meant to say.
Or was it on a parallel Earth?
Or did they go into the future?
Yeah. Yes. Back to... All right, so in our...
What if it's Wayward Pines?
If this was a precursor, it could be. We don't get... One of the best laughs I've had in any movie we've had for years. We cut to an exterior of a building. There's a sign on the building that says U.S. Geological Survey.
Yep.
Then a graphic comes up that is almost as big as the sign saying U.S. Geological Survey. So if you're sitting there, you're just reading it twice. This reeked of like a producer note being like, the sign on the building's not big enough. And somebody made them stick on a graphic. But for anyone who has normal eyesight, you're like, yeah, I know, I see it. There's a sign on it that
it's
says
not an
that.
Ironic name.
Yeah.
It actually is.
This guy at the survey calls Pierce, who's doing like epic push-ups. And that stereotypical... Yeah, I know, they're like half push-ups. And that stereotypical...
He's like going from like full extension to like quarter. Like he's really going up and down like 2 inches.
Yeah. This felt like
well,
to
he's
me
not that jacked, so I believe that. Pierce Brosnan probably did push-ups.
Yeah.
This is like what you would do in like ninth grade if you really didn't want to be doing push-ups, and you kind of look like you're doing a push-up.
That's what I do now when I do push-ups.
Yeah.
No, it's like in gym class, and they're like, "Do 20," and then like you do those when the gym teacher has his back turned, and then when he turns around, like, "All right, now I'll do full."
Uh-huh. It'd be awesome if they like pulled out and he's like on his knees.
So he gets called into work. By his boss, and he comes into the U.S. Geological Survey, and everyone instantly is like, hey, why don't you take a day off? And Pierce Brosnan's like, I got called in? I don't, like, what? Like,
he's getting accosted for this by people who, like, even later in the movie, his boss is like, take you 2 weeks, but you need him. You're the one who said, I need you to check this out. Yep.
Yeah. And he gets sent up to
Dante's Peak,
you know, to find out, you know,
it's the second most desirable place to live in America, under 20,000.
It's a really specific. This movie also kind of has overtones of a weird cop movie at times, because his boss is kind of like, all right, you got a new case for you here. Look, go check it out. You're my best guy. Yeah, work this case, Brosnan. And
you're a loose cannon, Brosnan.
Yeah, they kind of treat him like that. And they send him up to Dante's Peak, which we now get about 20 minutes just of like,
A scenery film.
A lot of slow. This movie film is very slow to start.
Well, and this movie has to set the record for crane shots and dolly shots. There are times in this first 20 minutes where we cut from a crane dolly to a crane dolly shot of like,
it's a very picturesque view, though.
It's a very nice
milking view. The location. I understand that, but you can't.
Well, this is probably too why they had
story.
This is probably too why they had a volcano in the first 30 seconds of the movie, so you're satisfied for the next 45 minutes with no volcanoes.
When you get no volcanoes. Because we do get two people who die.
Young lovers boil to death in a hot spring.
Is that how they died?
Okay. Because the camera tilts down to underwater, and you can see the red rock underneath.
I thought Jaws was in the water.
The bubbles, they were boiled.
It was the T-1000.
They were in a bisque.
So we are saying that lava essentially caused the hot spring
to boil.
Well,
it was a hot spring,
and
it got hotter because of the volcanic activity.
And I think there was like a rush of like
What actually shocked me was during the film, I was watching the film on my computer and I was researching on my phone, and an awful lot of the stuff, and a phone, Jack? I do. Oh, yeah. Wow. This is awesome. There's this thing.
What are you made of money?
I know. Ooh, if you wanted to brag, Jack.
You know, kind of a big deal.
But you have a burner phone too.
I do. I do have a burner phone. No. Anyway, I was doing some research about volcanoes, and a lot of the stuff that they show in this film is actually scientifically accurate.
Well,
I don't know anything about volcanoes.
Well, I researched volcanoes after we watched Pompeii because of how inaccurate Pompeii is. And I was thinking about that stuff while I was watching this one. It's actually more accurate than Pompeii was. Which
stuff
is
that
like,
could happen, but not necessarily.
Well, it was
in
based
way.
On true events. So.
Pompeii or Dante's Peak?
Maybe both.
Dante's Peak is based on Pompeii.
It could have. It's
updated the story. Based.
Yeah.
Are they in Washington?
They don't say. There's some random stab at Montana that some like townie gives. Like, ah, Montana, some crappy town that got number one, but that's okay.
It feels like a real cheap shot. Like, wow, all right. You know,
technically they're better than you. So.
Yeah, I guess Montana's not here to defend itself.
No, they're not. They sent people to disrupt. In fact, they're the reason why the volcano went off, because they had to destroy their competition.
And Brosnan meets Linda Hamilton, who is the town's mayor and a waitress.
There's some reason why he's been sent. Like, they believe that there might be evidence of an early volcano, so he goes, and the first person he needs to meet is the mayor, and we establish Linda Hamilton is like the single mother who owns this small business, and she's looking for her son, and then it cuts to the shot where the young couple boils to death, and I thought maybe that was her son. I was confused for a minute.
That was not, the placement of that was not good, because I thought
they were talking about how they live in like LA or something.
That's true.
We're here on vacation.
I missed that line.
Yeah,
okay.
Let him move here or something like that.
Yeah, I should pick closer.
Yeah, but it was.
Well, on your phone, Jack.
Sorry, I wanted to make sure that this film was accurate to actual seismological phenomena.
It was poorly edited, though, because at one point she's like, I know where he is, and then they cut to the hot springs, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Because I thought that would have more.
Would make sense to cut to the scene when the previous line is, I know where he is.
Instead of introducing him just like he's dicking around in a mine with his idiot buddies.
That was a twist.
Yeah.
So Brosnan's like, hey, Mayor Linda Hamilton, can you show me around town? And she's like, certainly, let me go pick up my dopey kid first, who... There are two things that this movie wants to do as callbacks, and it really fails in both of them. This is one of them. And she just drives up to what looks like the end of an alley and is like, and I don't know where, I can't remember.
I thought the kid was like a drug junkie, because it looked like a... lair for drug junkies.
I thought so too. And she's just laying on the horn, and I can't remember her son's name. We really should just
Graham.
Call her son
it was Graham.
Well, can we just Graham. Call him? Can we call him John? Can we call him John Connor?
Yeah, let's call him.
Yeah, let's call him John. JC. We'll call him JC. We'll call him.
Even if that's not his name yet.
Yeah.
He's using an assumed name because he doesn't want a T-800 to come and plug him in the back.
This is when they were witness protection.
That's right.
Yes. Before his mom went crazy.
But how are we going to explain the daughter though?
Is it before or after? Before.
This would have been before she would have been committed to the Psych Institute in T2, but after the events of Terminator 1. Right. Yeah.
Yes, and she doesn't want to talk about Kyle so that the father is just missing.
Right. Yeah, and the daughter's a part of the cover story.
Yeah, there you go. She's also in hiding, but unfortunately her parents are dead, so she's being raised by Linda Hamilton. This makes sense. Yeah.
It all adds up.
It does.
That actually adds up more than some of the things that will happen later in this movie.
Yeah.
So he comes out, he likes to hang out in an... We're told it is a mine, though we never see said mine in this.
But I think they showed like a sign that said mine or something, and I'm like, I wonder if we're gonna see that mine again.
Yeah,
and
I was either
volcano.
I like they had put like a little text on the bottom, mine.
Yeah, mine. they should have done it with everything like welcome to Dante's Peak, and then like a graphic that says Dante's Peak.
Welcome to a cup of Joe.
So he comes out of the mine that we never see through a little door, and she's like, get in the car. We're taking this guy around town to show him things. They drive up into the mountains. They weirdly see a bunch of dead squirrels, to which point, like...
Well, it's a false scare because the little girl screams. Like, he's starting to flirt a little bit with Linda Hamilton, and the little girl screams, and I thought, oh, they discovered the two... bodies in the spring,
right?
But then we run up and it's like a false scare because they're just dead squirrels,
to which Linda Hamilton says, oh, this must be some sort of squirrel epidemic. What? It doesn't make any sense.
The old squirrel epidemic. Yep. We've seen this before at the U.S. Geological Survey.
I really wanted Pierce Brosnan's character to look at her and be like, what are you talking about?
The squirrel epidemic always precedes volcanic activity.
Yeah.
I better call this in.
Something squirrely here. I'm going to go call HQ, see if M has any suggestions.
Well, Pierce Brosnan's like handling this really well, considering... He's supposed to meet the mayor and get a tour of this place, and she's like, "All right, wait a minute, I got to pick up my son from the mine." And then they're driving up. She's like,
"So basically,
oh wait,
like,
let me drop them off at my mother-in-law's house." He's like, "Okay."
He's become like a chauffeur.
They
for
go
this
there,
woman.
Like it's just like a
pick
series
up some dry
of
clothes.
Yeah. Well, they go there, and then they don't even drop the kids off at the mother-in-law. The mother-in-law's like, "I'm coming too." His brother's like, "All right,
I'll get my swimsuit." I'm like, please don't.
No one really wants to see you in a swimsuit.
Please don't.
Yeah. Early on, I was like, why is the grandmother coming on this trip? But I was like, okay. So then they get to the hot spring, and the kids are like, hot spring, hi! And John Connor, like, he's got his, like, swimsuit on. He, like, gets 10 feet away. He's winding up to run in, and literally at the last second, Brosnan's like, no! Throwing stuff and jumping in. Because... And I'm also kind of like, really, like, Pierce Brosnan waited a long time to stop the kid and didn't,
process
like,
all the information.
Yeah, like, five minutes earlier, he could have been like, hey, you know what, kids? Let me take a look at this hot spring. I'm here to investigate volcanoes. Let me look at this hot spring before you dive in.
Because didn't he... once again, it was edited strangely. Did he see the body float up before he tackled him?
That is unclear.
Because in the next shot, they showed the body floating, but in the previous shot, there was no floating body.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I think he was just finally like, wait a minute.
Because in that sense, it's like, why, when you're walking up to the hot springs, and the whole time... The kids are like changing into their swimsuits, and it's clear they're going to go in the hot springs. Why wouldn't you say like, "All right, guys, let's hold off on this."
Let's backtrack even further. Why not open the movie with the couple gets boiled in the hot spring,
like
right?
Yeah,
why not? And then all of a sudden, you do the cliche where Pierce Brosnan gets called. He's the best volcanologist in the state or the country. And then I'm not sure. That's what he says in the movie.
Volcanologist?
That's what he says in the movie.
Oh, yeah, because they made
Star Trek.
Spock.
Yeah,
okay.
So then we have...
In Star Trek 2, didn't he? In the new Star Trek 2, didn't Spock stop a volcano? So I guess he is like Spock.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. I did have a little bit of a nerd moment where James Bond did the... Live long and prosper. I couldn't.
That was pretty cool.
I was like, yeah, okay, I'm having a little nerd moment. Okay, on with the film. But anyway, I thought it would make more sense plot-wise that the two lovers are boiled to death. The Mayer thinks it's odd, calls the U.S. Geological Survey, and then they send Pierce Brosnan out so they wouldn't be in this situation in the first place. Like, that would make even more sense than what they actually went with.
Well, I have a theory on why they didn't do that, and it's where the logic of this movie falls apart, because now you're like, Pierce Brosnan's like, whoa, there's two dead people in this hot spring. Okay, we got to do some investigation into what's going on here. Do we ever see anyone go back to that hot spring and determine what's happening? No. In fact, throughout the next hour of this movie, and people are like, there's nothing here to indicate a volcano is going to go off. No one goes, hey, what about those two dead people in that spring? Maybe we should get some readings by that spring? Like, you know, because I think had they done that, it would have undermined this movie's own logic. But we'll get more into it, but it's a constant problem in this movie, in that the movie simultaneously wants you to believe, oh my God, there are so many indicators that this volcano is about to go off, that Pierce Brosnan is right. And at the same time, it wants you to believe, nope, they're doing all this testing and there's no indications that this volcano is about to go off. And you're like, well, wait, which one? Are both of these right? Because that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Those people totally died in vain. Like, the one good their deaths could have prompted was that, you know, they're like, oh, maybe this volcano will go off.
Right, yeah.
They could have said,
I thought that was going to be, like, the moment where they're like,
yeah,
okay,
why didn't anyone look and that would be like an evacuation spring. Film. Because in that one scene where they died, they show, like, lava flowing from the spring. It's like, all I had to do was, like, put a camera down there and be like, oh, there's lava.
Yeah.
Or, I guess it's about to blow.
Yeah, or have, like, the team from Twister, those guys come in and be like, whoa, this spring is, like, you know, 2,000 degrees. All right, we got something going on. Yeah.
And can we say, once they bring in the USGS team, the this is sort of like, I was thinking that, like, these are like the knockoff version of the Twister team.
Oh, absolutely.
Where every member of the Twister team, the Storm team. Chasers, kind of had their own little unique bit, and they were all kind of cool, and you look like you want to hang out with them. And these guys were like desperately, we have to have the one guy really like coffee. The other guy's a computer nerd who likes robots. These guys have personality.
Well, how about the
it's
other
like,
one?
Not really.
Because you're right. Those are the only, there's three, well, there's four people on the team. There's Brosnan's boss.
Yep, the girl.
Well, there's the guy who the likes woman. Coffee.
Yep.
The guy who's really into computers.
Was there a guy who really, was really good at puzzles?
There's the Asian guy.
Oh, yeah, there was an Asian guy, and then there was the woman. Yeah.
Well, and they don't, and you just
said, honestly, he had no other
Those are their distinguishing features. They did one guy's distinguishing features.
He didn't have a personality.
I know, he's just Asian. And they
what did he ever say that distinguished himself?
Nothing.
I mean, to be fair, the woman's character, she was distinguished by the fact that she was a woman.
That was all they gave her. They're like, she's female. That's all we need to do.
Like what?
That's her character.
Like, I would have liked... If they had written these characters like to be like round and well developed, I almost would have rather have seen a movie about them. Like, okay, this team of geologists comes in, and this is what they do when they fight a volcano.
Kind
of like Twister's, kind of like fantasy, of course, but and ramped up for action
based
purposes.
On true events.
But basically, what do these storm chasers do? Will I not do a movie that's obviously exaggerated for Hollywood, but this is about what these geologists do.
It gives you a little something about them. Like, can you imagine if you're the actress who is playing that woman on the Geological Survey team, if she's saying to Roger Donaldson, like, hey, what's my character's motivation in this scene? It would appear from this movie that his response was just like, I don't know, do what a lady would do. Because that's it. That's your only characteristic.
Do what a lady volcanologist would do.
Yeah.
Okay, just like flipping buttons.
I feel like every movie like this in the 90s had that setup where it was like, all right, there's the main character, and then there's like this scientific crew of like four or five
backs
people.
Them up.
Yeah. They all have little quirks.
And again, her quirk, female. Another guy's quirk is ethnicity. So Brosnan's boss comes into town, and he finds out that Brosnan is meeting with the city council and being like, hey, you know, something's going on. You know, we just saw this hot spring where two people died. And Brosnan is actually kind of chilled out. He's like, I just want people to be aware. We don't have to put an alert out. I just want people to be aware. And the city council is like, you're saying we need to issue an alert and evacuate? And even Brosnan's like, no, it's not what I'm saying. I'm just keeping you updated on what's happening. If we evacuate the town, this business... And he's like, nope, no one's saying to evacuate. Oh my God, this town is doomed. And I'm like, it's meeting.
Well, we have the Dante's Peak Festival this weekend. We can't close the beaches.
Yeah.
We can't close the beaches.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, this is where the one of the weird side plots that tries to introduce motivation as to why they wouldn't evacuate the town is there's some shadowy investor
in the town. I love this side plot that goes nowhere.
This is like a C nowhere. Plot.
There's some big corporation that wants to, this is really as specific as it gets, invest in the town.
I know.
Like, if we evacuate the town, Welch corporations won't want to build here.
Yeah.
Like, wow, but we don't need any more information about that.
Build what? No, who knows?
Not. Certainly not. Yeah. No character
did
there.
Did you guys also notice, did you guys recognize the one, I don't know even know what his role was in the city council, but the one bald guy who was always pissed at Linda Hamilton?
Yeah.
You recognize what he was from? Yeah. Or at least what I know him from?
Where do I know him from?
He was in Seinfeld.
Oh.
He was the high talker in the episode where Elaine would always call her friend Lorraine.
Yes.
And she could never tell if she was talking to her or him because he had a high voice.
And that other guy on the Common Council is the dude from all the John Carpenter movies. The guy, he's from from They Live. He's like the priest in They Live. And he's in... I forget his name.
I'm sorry, it's a biological quantity.
So Pierce Brosnan.
Like it was like he tried to get that before he said that was the last thing he ever said.
Jack's last word. Oh yeah.
Jack died acknowledging that he knew who that bit character actor was.
Yeah.
I will remember. I think if Jack died today, we'd bury him with all the DVDs and the movies we
watched. Yeah. In like sort of an Egyptian tomb situation.
I was thinking put me on the boat and put me out in the middle of the water and like set fire to it.
Oh, Viking funeral. Well, you know.
That would be a pretty badass way to go.
That would be.
I don't think it's legal.
Maybe I'll do that.
I don't think it's legal.
You're saying
there are legal ways that you can dispose of a body.
You can get burned.
This is getting dark.
But you can get cremated. Yeah. But there are regulations as to how it's you can't to save money like burn your great grandmother in your backyard. Like you can't do that. There's certain procedures that have to be.
But you're saying could I go to a funeral home and say I want you to put me on a boat and cremate me by setting the boat on fire?
Oh no, we could try. I don't know if they're gonna say yes. Once your ashes, though, it's inert. You can put them anywhere.
Now, what about if I go to that funeral home from Diamonds Are Forever?
Diamonds on your ass, and then we'll...
You better have a jar of $20,000.
A fake diamond. Fake diamonds in my colon.
No, the best way would be, what was that? There was some movie where they do that, but then like they float them out, and then someone had a burning arrow.
Shot into the sky,
and then it landed in the 13th Warrior. I said 13th Warrior.
It's been done in other movies too. That's how they used to do it.
Yeah,
that'd be the way to go.
That would be.
Okay. I feel like I'm gonna cut out the past 10 minutes.
So back to this.
A interesting discussion
so
about
Pierce Brosnan's boss arrives in Dante's Peak. He comes into town and he comes into the meeting. He's like, "Hey,
he's,
everybody!"
He's basically the mayor from Jaws here.
Well, it's weird, and this is where the structure of this movie is kind of crazy, because for some reason, this movie feels that it needs not one, but two antagonists going against Pierce Brosnan.
Right.
Not only the city council, but for reasons that remain unclear throughout the film, Pierce Brosnan's boss has to be a second antagonist who's like, yeah, everybody chill out, there's no reason to think this volcano is going off, and we don't need to tell anybody anything. But by the way, we are here to determine if this volcano is going to go off.
Well, because, like he said in the past, he did exactly what Brosnan did, and then the volcano didn't erupt, and then he ruined the whole town, their economy, because they evacuated or whatever.
Yeah, why would a whole town be ruined by, like, an evacuation?
Because other businesses pulled out or something. The investors didn't invest.
All shadowy investors.
And what's interesting is I don't think anybody, except for the Common Council, has been talking about evacuation. Pierce Brosnan's just saying, like, we just some awareness and maybe have plans if needed.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Which also, like, you know, if you haven't seen the film, in the exterior shots, the town is built into a volcano.
Yes.
Like, the volcano's right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, people if you jump from the volcano, you would land in the town.
Right.
So I feel like if you live in that area, you kind of have to live with the thought that, all right, that could, you know, it could go off. Like, probably not, but it could.
Yeah.
Let's be aware of it. Yeah. So now in Pierce Brosnan's boss is like, don't worry, everybody. We're just going to keep this all hush-hush. No one has to talk about it. And then one of the common council members, like, walking out is like, this meeting never should have been called. What do you mean? Nothing. All Pierce Brosnan has done is said two people died in a hot spring and we're going to do some monitoring of activity. Yeah, this meeting never should have been called.
And then the high talker says something to Linda Hamilton like, oh, you're going to have to do some damage control now.
I know.
I'm like, what damage control? To who? What are you guys, there was five of you talking in a room.
Like in all, let's just say this right now. At least 12 people maybe know what's going on. Are they talking about a panic for?
I think the only people who know about this are the people in the room.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know what the panic would be. Yeah.
They're all panicked.
This is where the structure of this movie is. And I loved watching this movie. It was fun to watch,
but
it makes no sense in their attempts to build up the, like...
They're trying to build tension and it doesn't work because it just keeps, like, deflating.
Yeah.
And then by the time the volcano goes off, you're just so bored. You're like, all right, here's a volcano. All right, big deal.
And we'll get to it, but you don't even see the volcano erupt.
No, you don't. You don't. Which is sort of odd. Yeah.
And the funny thing too about this whole added stakes part of the movie of this corporation is the fact that they were just named one of the best small towns in America.
Right.
You know, it's not like, oh, this town's gonna die if they don't invest in us. It's like they were doing okay without them.
Right.
Yeah, it'd be fun. Like, you wouldn't think that this town would just be like, yeah, hey, let's get this checked out. Like, you know, we should find out what's going on. If the, you know, okay, yeah, let's see what's happening. Or, yeah, it's dumb. So then Pierce Brosnan's boss pulls him into a meeting. He's like, all right, Brosnan, you're off the case. You're the best man I got. If it's too close. I'm like, what? What are they talking about? And he's like, take a couple of weeks off. And the next morning...
And he gets pissed off when he sees Brosnan in the bar.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing here? Gave me 2 weeks. I can go wherever the hell I want, man.
Well, I half wanted Brosnan to be like, I'm in the middle of nowhere. Where am I supposed to be? You know?
Clean out your desk. You're through.
Turn in your badge and your thermometer. You're off this case.
I like how the whole geological team, too, in that scene before they go into the bar, like, went to the fair. Like, the one coffee guy's, like, walking around with a stuffed animal.
Yeah. They have a
volcano getting ready to erupt, but...
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
Why not? We're here. They got a festival. Let's have some funnel cake and win a stuffed animal.
Yeah.
I like that.
So they now... So then there's an immediate follow-up meeting where he's like, all right, you're back on the case.
Yeah, but, it's like the next scene. He's like, okay,
yeah. He's like, oh, you're still here? Well, you might as well get to work.
But keep it under control, McNulty. You know?
Well, I like, too, the scene in the bar that night when they're talking about, like, oh, you're still here and all this stuff. And he's like, all right, I'll hire a chopper and do a flyby of the volcano.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay. And then they show that scene, and like Brosnan's up there in the helicopter.
Yeah,
it's like the one guy who you're like, all right, you need to take a step back from this case. You're causing a panic. Like, no, let's have that be the guy who they send him in the helicopter.
I also thought it was funny that they gave the helicopter pilot more dimension.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
just helicopter pilot.
I don't want to fly down there. It'll be overtime. We're flying through my lunch break.
Potentially.
And I was like, with that one line, he has a little more development than half the members of the geological
team.
Biggest
laugh I had in this movie coming up. Well, I'll get to it.
Oh, that helicopter pilot caused me two big laughs later on.
He is a weird element in this script. That I feel like whoever wrote this story just has a lot of deep-seated animosity towards helicopter pilots. I mean, it really doesn't even... Like, it's out of nowhere.
Every scene that he's in, which is in three... Yeah. Actually, every scene and even scenes he's not in, they just portray him as a huge asshole.
Dick, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And then
it's going to be overtime if I fly over there. Like, it's 20 seconds. You're in a helicopter.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of a helicopter. You get places quickly.
I would imagine he gets paid, like, for the job, not by the hour, right? Like, he's contracting out his helicopter.
I would feel that way.
Was he just going to hover over the volcano when he needs his lunch?
Right.
While everyone's in the
Well, then I feel like at the end of the movie when he dies, as the audience are supposed to be like, yeah, that guy deserved it.
It's kind of such
like,
an asshole.
Yeah, we are just kind of like, why?
Enjoy your money in hell.
That's the only reason I could figure that they added that dimension to him. So when he died, you were like,
I think they.
But so many other people died that you felt bad about.
I don't know. For some reason, they didn't want you to
laugh. Oh, yeah? That butcher? He was an asshole, too!
Yeah.
I'm glad that brick fell on his head.
And I like, so they're flying over, and the robot guy in the team is taking these readings, and he's saying to Pierce Brosnan, there's nothing to indicate any kind of activity down there. And I have this in my notes. I'm like, how are they going to reconcile this later on? Will it be not at all? Because that seems to be the direction they went. So he's like, yep, nothing. And then they come up with this plan where they're going to get a robot that can walk on its own, and they're going to send that down closer to the...
like it's going
to
venture into the crater.
Into the crater.
Yeah.
Into the crater. So they send it down. The robot goes down about 20 feet and then gets stuck. So the robot guy is like, oh, okay, I'm going to climb down and fix the robot. And he rappels down there. And there's this big line where there's like a close-up on his face. He's like, okay, I'm going off rope. And it might as well have been just like, he might have looked into the camera and been like, audience?
Nothing bad's going to happen.
Don't go get a soda right now. I'm going off rope.
Something's finally going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, they're all like, I don't know, like if you're a geologist, I would guess you need to have some basic experience in rock climbing since that's kind of what you study.
Yeah.
That trip down didn't look all that treacherous to me.
No, it didn't at all.
And everyone was like, oh, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's going down like 10 feet and he's tied to a rope.
Right.
And it's not even that quick. When Pierce Brosnan has to do it 5 minutes later, it takes him like 10 seconds.
Without a rope.
He just basically like walks down.
He basically like slides down on his ass.
Yeah. Yeah. But this guy goes down there, he's trying to fix the robot, and then there's an earthquake while
rock
he's and a earthquake and rock slide, which is done for a movie that had a lot of money. It's done in a very Star Trek way, where just like the camera shakes.
Yeah.
If only someone had yelled rock slide.
And it lands on this guy. I thought he was dead.
Yeah.
But then Pierce Brosnan gets down there, and it just turns out the guy's a broken leg.
I love how Coffee Guy has to explain to the audience why the people at Master Control, whatever they're calling it, can still see what's going on.
Oh,
wow, that camera survived after that pounding from the rocks.
Yeah, why did he say that?
It was such a weird line.
So that the audience can't be like, wait a minute, why is the camera on the robot still working? The robot was crushed.
Yeah, yeah. That character got stuck
the
with
camera,
a lot of
it. Yeah, the camera's working.
Yeah.
Cameras, coffee, holy crap!
Yeah.
So, well, then this is where my big laugh came because, so he's like stuck under the rocks and Brosnan like shuffles down there and he sees he's still alive, so he starts yelling into the camera like, get the helicopter pilot, we gotta get him out of here. I think his leg's broken, whatever. So like, I think it's the Asian guy calls, he like picks up the phone. And so no, he's like,
wait, set this up because... Because before he says the line, I'll let you say the classic line, but they set it up as if this is going to be some terrible news he's giving. Because they do like the camera zoom, and he's like, guys.
So yeah, he's on the phone, he's like, he turns to this boss, he's like, the pilot wants to renegotiate his salary or his rate. And I was like, and the boss is like, oh, just give him whatever he wants. Like,
that was the bad news?
Yeah.
You have a guy dying on the mountain and the bad news is we might have to pay him a little more to rescue and save this guy's life?
So weird.
I really thought they were going to say, like, the pilot's helicopter is down. There's no one that can save him.
Right.
Oh, they just have to throw, like, another couple $100 his way? Like,
I liked imagining the pilot, too, like,
fuel's expensive.
You need me to save somebody? I'm going to need a bit more money for that.
Paul, I just talked to the pilot. He needs a fuel surcharge.
I think we're going to have to let him die.
I feel like this screenwriter's family was murdered by like a helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
Well, this movie is completely... Everyone's motivated by like money in this movie. And everyone's like... And when choosing between like human life and like money, it's always like... kind of on the side of human life sometimes, but sometimes on the side of, like, let's make some more money.
Let's get a little window out of this.
Well, if you can preserve human life and make a little extra coin on the side, why not? It's a win-win, right? Think of it that way.
Again, I feel like that's how the Skynet Corporation was founded. Principle was founded. Again, this is where the
guys are. Maybe that's the shadowy investor right
yes,
there.
Yes, this is Skynet.
Maybe that machine they used to read the gas levels was the first like Skynet creation. That kid,
the robot's self-aware. Caused the rock slide itself.
John Connor could have been hanging out with the robot guy in his spare time. Yes. Okay. That's what's... This is what's happening.
It's so clear.
And NASA was involved. Okay.
Yeah. So we should mention, too, we haven't mentioned why the coffee guy is coffee guy. Just quickly.
Oh, I don't even think...
Somewhere along the line. I think it was before they went down
the robot.
It was
the scene before,
Linda Hamilton comes and, like, is delivering coffee to the...
Because she's like a barista.
The base, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got, like, a special coffee for Brosnan because she's got a crush on it, whatever, but...
Well, because it's like the classic theory, you know, if you want to... It's like the Spice Girl said, if you want to get with me, you better get with my friends. Yeah. Or, you know, however, you know. Mm-hmm.
So the one guy is, like, super excited about coffee. He literally goes, coffee time! Coffee! And he starts, like, just naming coffees. He's like, Java, cappuccino, coffee! He's, like, super excited about his coffee.
It's, yeah, and it's so
and
over
he also
the top.
He also tests her. Like, It's kind of sad, but I knew what he was doing. He said, you keep your beans in the freezer, right? And she said, no, I don't. Yeah, she's a keeper. Like, she passed the test because you're not supposed to keep your beans in the freezer because it seeps the oils out of the bean. I honestly knew that. But anyway.
Jack is the coffee guy.
Coffee freak, but it's like, why? I felt like maybe he was over-exaggerating the coffee-ness because that's all the actor had to play with.
That's it. That's so his only...
He said, like maybe the line in the script was, yeah, coffee time, man, I'm beat. And he grabs the coffee and drinks it. And the actor was like, you know what? No. I think my character is going to be like 7 years old. And he's just been told he's going to have a Star Wars-themed birthday party. And that Darth Vader is going to be there. Coffee time, oh my God.
Yeah, I bet everyone who was on that geological survey team was desperate for any camera time they could get, and probably doing anything they can to establish themselves.
Because later on, Robot Guy does the same thing. He just replaces the word coffee with NASA.
Yeah.
NASA. Because what does NASA have to do with anything?
Yeah, like nothing.
Save Pierce Brosnan's life.
I guess so.
I also want to. That reminded me of that one coffee scene to bring something else up that I thought was funny. The scene where. It's the kind of the first scene where they show some sort of romantic inkling between Linda Hamilton and Pierce Brosnan when she brings them the coffee the first time.
Right.
Yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan is having a conversation with the robot guy. And this conversation I felt like reset like four times in the next scene. Because when she first comes in, the robot guy says to Pierce Brosnan, because she like knows Pierce Brosnan's coffee order already.
Because she, like, so, she burned him on the hand.
What's the scoop? And he's like, oh, nothing. We just had dinner last night. He's like, And then they show her, like, passing out the coffee. And then they cut to them again. He's like, so, tell me some details. He's like, nothing really. And then they cut to the next scene where they're setting up equipment. So he's like, so.
Make out time. And Pierce Brosnan's like, still nothing to report, guys.
I'm like, my God, what is this? Yeah.
Well, in some of the...
And we saw the scene that happened. It's not like as the audience were, like, unaware of what happened.
Right. It's some of the beauty, I think, of this movie, which is, for most of the movie's running time, you could take out any scene in the movie, and it doesn't actually structurally change the movie.
Right.
Anything could go, or anything could stay, and the movie still would be chugging along. Yeah,
I legit thought they were going to start singing Summer Lovin'.
Oh, that would
have been a blast.
So after
the earthquake and the guy gets crushed, the boss is still, like, unimpressed.
Yeah.
He's not into this whole the volcano's gonna blow thing.
Because this is where he's like, we're out of here in the morning, Brosnan.
Yeah, because Brosnan's like, look, I think we just mine it for another 2 days. And he's like, I told you I gave it 2 days and I gave you a week. We're out of here in the morning. And
that was a week?
Yeah, I know. This time frame is kind of confusing.
The other 5 days.
I did.
Drink coffee.
Yeah, well, they did go to that carnival.
They played with the robot a little bit, yeah.
So he's like, we're out of here in the morning. Brosnan's like, all right. So he's like, well, I guess I better go hook up with Linda Hamilton.
This is his last chance, yep.
And somehow he picks her up. They go to her house. She sends a babysitter home.
You think they're going to get it on, and then...
She turns on the sink, and the water comes out brown.
Yep.
And he's, you know, and Pierce Brosnan's like, whoa, that's pretty weird. Your water's brown. He's like, where's your
town? How are the squirrels?
Yeah. Do you have squirrels in your water? He's like, where does your water come from? They go to the water, the town's water plant. It reeks of
sulfur.
And he's kind of, you know, and then he's like, oh, okay, this is a big deal. And they get her, as all of us who have worked in news, I thought this is hilarious. They have her do a public service announcement, but she's sitting on a set like a news anchor.
Oh, yeah.
Like with the framing, like even has like a news framing, like there's a space for an over the shoulder graphic and stuff.
I was shocked that Dante's Peak, that small little 20,000 person town, had a news station.
Yeah, I'm like, what market is that?
I thought.
Market 300.
I know.
I was thinking maybe it was supposed to be like cable access. I was a little confused by this. I mean, it makes sense. She's going, she's making a public plea, but wouldn't it have made more sense if it were like a radio station instead of a TV station? I don't know.
And or just go to the fair and do an announcement over the PA system, because that's where everyone was anyway.
Yeah. Well, and she says something in it where she's like, you know, something like, don't panic, or like, you know, no need to panic, just, you know, there's going to be this meeting. So then you're like, oh, okay, they don't want people to panic. Now, they've got a cop car driving through the middle of Dante's Peak announcing a meeting with a bullhorn. I'm like, well, that's going to get people to panic. That would freak me out, you know. Can you imagine if we're just sitting here at home and a cop car comes by, it's like, meeting tonight, 7 o'clock in the gymnasium. Don't worry, anyone.
Everything's okay.
Everything's fine, but you gotta come to this meeting.
Well, I was confused. Like, it's funny too. They're like, you know, there's this meeting like tomorrow at 6 or something. Instead of being like, hey, this volcano, there's evidence that it might blow, you might want to start getting out of town. They're like, everyone gather at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
If one spot had just left that night, they would have been fine.
Right.
Yeah. And
by holding them to this invitation to this meeting, they have actually caused all the deaths that occur from this point on in the film. Because they just said,
except for that,
something might be going on. He had it coming. Yeah. He was a greedy bastard.
Yeah. Well, in the biggest laugh, I was watching this movie, and I have a contractor at my house doing some work, and so I'm watching it. The town meeting starts. There's all these people, and it's. You know, and everyone's like, hey, what are we going to do about this? Hey, what's going to happen? And then someone shouts out, do we have to wait? What if we want to leave now? Like, what kind of an idiot? You know what? Linda Hamlin should have been like, okay, there are dumb questions. You're free to leave whenever you want to. You know? This is not Scientology. You can get out whenever you want, you know?
Yeah.
Like, is this the thing as well? Like, if you live in, like, Tornado Alley, do they make you go to a meeting first before you can, like, evacuate your home?
Am I allowed to evacuate?
Is this the part where we evacuate?
What about the grocery store? Can I go to the grocery store?
Can I go to the bathroom?
It was so great.
Do I have time to heat up some dinner before I leave? It's Campbell's soup, so it's like 2.5 to 3 minutes in the microwave. A little longer than the conventional stoves.
What's the score of the Padres game?
Are you making TDS?
Yeah. I love that. So then an earthquake strikes during the meeting. And everyone goes outside. And despite the fact that we supposedly the top volcano experts in the country are there, they learn that this volcano is erupting the same time as the general public who look at it.
I like to see where everyone's evacuating the gym, and at one point people like burst through the window.
No, I know.
Why did that happen?
And you've got Brosnan on the microphone just being like,
stay calm.
Don't push her. Don't push her.
Sally, I see you.
Yeah.
You're gonna be in big trouble.
I'm gonna count to three.
If you don't die.
This sequence, this whole town meeting sequence, was unintentional comedy gold. This was great stuff.
Like, how concentrated are the people that they're bursting through the window?
I thought we were gonna get like the Old West stunt show of someone who falls off a second story, you know? Into a hay bale, maybe, or something like that, or like a water trough.
Well, this whole movie too, I've been waiting. Like, okay, at least, you know, when the volcano erupts, that'll be a cool thing. That'll be a cool shot. And it's like, you don't see that. You see the earth shake while you're in the gym. They go outside, and it's already erupted. And it's just, you know, ash going into the air.
And the ash is going up. Yeah, so everyone gets in their cars.
Kind of a letdown.
And we get a weird sequence where, even though they haven't, I realized during this, we don't really understand the geography of Dante's Peak, because a freeway like entrance collapses. And I really had a lot of difficulty understanding how big of an event that was. Like, are they saying that's the only way out of Dante's Peak?
Yeah, or like, now it's just like a bridge, right?
I guess.
Yeah, what I didn't get was, yeah, they showed later, like, the bridge was the last resort to leave.
Right.
But, like, not that I know too much about
Dante's Peak.
Dante's Peak and just overall infrastructure, transportation infrastructure. But I feel like when there's an earthquake, the little rickety bridge would be the first one to go and not, like, the big concrete highway.
This was confusing to me, like, what fell and what didn't during the earthquake, because it seems like every sign, and the Dante's Peak
the
also appears to be, like...
sign fell.
Yeah, they're like the sign capital of the world, because they all fell. And then some buildings
it
completely
It calls back
implode.
To the domino trick that Pierce showed the kids earlier in the film.
That's okay. Okay. And then we find out that Linda Hamilton's kids took her truck because...
Grandma, for some reason, doesn't want to leave the mountain, even though it's obvious it's going to kill her.
Here's my problem. This is my whole problem with the script of this movie. And it never... I think the movie doesn't establish it because it knows that there's no way to it. Why did Grandma refuse to leave the mountain? I mean, because
she's a stubborn old lady.
But what was she even being stubborn?
I think because just because they like built the house, because there's like a picture of them like, oh, this is after we built the house, and she like didn't, she wanted to go down with the ship, I guess, I don't know.
It's so weird because the whole final act of the movie hinges on this decision by the grandmother not leave, and you never really, it's never really explained even why that's going on.
I mean, I kind of got it. Like they kind of portrayed her as like stubborn and she wasn't going to listen to anyone, and They had that one scene earlier where they first met her where Pierce Brosnan was explaining to her why he was there, and she's like, oh, that mountain's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
And then when the volcano was erupting, she's like, oh, the mountain won't harm us.
Yeah, but Hamilton's
like, you're a fool.
Even late in the movie, she's kind of like, what are you kids doing here? And it's like, oh, you're covered in ash?
It's
like,
just raining.
Yeah. Has anyone seen my dog? It's cloudy. Yeah.
But and left here because so the kids go up there, which I was shocked the kid could drive a car and could find his grandmother's
cabin.
Well,
he's resourceful, John Connor, remember?
Oh, maybe.
That's true.
I mean, he is John Connor.
This is a kid who was hacking into ATMs just a year or two later.
Yeah. So, and this, by the way, is too where the helicopter pilot dies because they're on their way up to the mountain.
Well, first they drive through a river in this intense let's cross the water scene in a car, and Pierce does what he does for at least four more times in the movie. The tire of the car gets stuck in a situation where you should never have a car. And then he epically backs the car up like 2 inches and then goes forward. And dun-dun-dun, they continue.
Oh, no, they got hit by another car.
I didn't understand.
Oh, they got pushed by another swimming car.
So they show that scene where Pierce Brosnan like goes across the river, and then I guess other people see him do this. They're like, oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
And then their car.
So the one car is behind him in the river.
Yeah.
And then they cut to the next scene, and then it's on the side getting ready to T-bone him.
Maybe he got caught up in like current.
What?
No, but the car's going with the current into the car. So somehow the car, while floating, went against the current, made a 90-degree turn.
Made a U-turn in the river.
In the river.
Yeah.
And then T-bone Pierce Brosnan, which somehow T-boning him
jolted him forward. And by the way, Pierce Brosnan shows no interest of the lives of the people in that
he's
car.
He's just like, thanks. Yeah. He's like, they'll never make it.
Yeah. Yeah. You could argue.
No matter that we had three open seats in our car.
Yeah. Hundreds, if not thousands of people are dead because Pierce Brosnan focused exclusively on saving Linda Hamilton's mother-in-law and her dumbass kids.
So, but at some point along here, the helicopter pilot's like taking money to carry people out. Some guy's like, I'm giving him $15,000 to get me out of here, whatever.
Yeah.
And so...
And he's taking out this mysterious businessman. The businessman...
And this is where this loose end is cut.
Yeah.
But, don't tie it. They cut it.
But, like, I think it was the boss of the geological crew was like, wait, he can't take off because the ash in the air was going to clog his engines or whatever.
Yeah.
Somehow he thought of this and the pilot didn't think of this, but... So, of course, the pilot crashes and dies.
Yeah. In like
almost
very
crashes.
Finally, and then
in a scene where like you're kind of like, yeah, that guy had it coming.
You're supposed to be, and Brosnan calls back to the geological survey guys. He's like, there's been a helicopter crash. Send a medical
send the fire
team.
Crew or something.
And the coffee guy's like, oh man, we all right, we're on it. And I'm like, you got much bigger stuff going on than a helicopter pilot who's clearly dead.
I know, I was thinking that too. I'm like, Everybody's dying in this town. Yeah. Why is
the fire crew evacuated?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand why Pierce is taking the risk for the family that he's beginning to care for to go up into the mountain to save them. It's a ridiculous, risky thing to do, but he's doing it. But now he's encouraging other people to do the same. Go rescue that helicopter pilot, even though he might be dead. No, you're going to get your ass away from the mountain, not closer to it. I'm doing something really stupid, but it's for a good reason.
Yeah.
You should not take that risk.
And the thing that's funny about that whole scene is how they really do make you feel like it's good that those people died. It's like, yeah they had it coming. Yeah. They deserved
those idiots
it.
In those cars, they thought they could go through.
Right. Yeah. And usually most movies, like, there's obviously disaster movies and stuff where things like that happen, where there's always, like, one or two asshole characters when they die. You're like, all right, you know, that's fine. But usually it's, like, because they do something worse. It's, like, the guy in town who, like, beat women and he was a terrible person, or he may have killed someone in order to escape and then he dies. And it's like, all right, like, but these people, like, what did they all do? The one guy's like the head of a successful corporation.
Yeah.
The other guy just was like looking out for the economic interests of the town, and the helicopter pilot just likes money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're like vilifying them.
They're really not. Like, you could argue, you could actually strongly argue that the bigger villain is Brosnan's boss, who in a couple of scenes they try to quickly redeem weirdly, but like, yeah. It's.
Plus, what is this head, this big CEO guy that's going to invest in the town? What has he been doing this whole week that he's still in town?
He
shows up at the meeting.
Well, there's a festival going on.
He does. And at the meeting, he's like, I'm out of here before things get bad. Well, guess what? Things got bad while you were at the meeting.
And I like how the high talkers, like, all alarmed by this. Like, they've just been told that, like, the whole town's might go down in a volcanic flame, and yet he's still worried about the investment.
Yeah.
Pierce and Linda Hamilton get up to the cabin to rescue the kids and the mother-in-law.
Where the grandmother,
not even rescue the mother-in-law, because
the grandmother has one of the great lines in the movie when she's like, "What are you doing here?" Yeah. What?
So
let me get my swimsuit on.
Walter's coming home soon.
So Brosnan convinces them all to, like, okay, we have to go. You get yourself together. We have to go. So, like, you know, they go upstairs and pack wherever, and it's like this quiet moment. Brosnan's like, okay, you guys got everything? Okay, let's go. Let's go, everyone. And then all of a sudden, like, lava just explodes through the wall.
Yes.
Like
this, yes.
And it's going, bam, like, lava comes flooding into the cabin. And
I laughed out loud when that happened.
That was hilarious. I like the scene right before when they're in the attic and they're taking things, and the grandma says that she finds, like, an old picture.
She's looking through pictures, yeah.
And they're like, look, we built this camera. She's like, shut up, you old bat, we gotta go!
Yeah. And so they go running for this lake where there's a boat, because they can't drive anymore, and they get into
because their cars are engulfed in lava.
Because their cars are engulfed in lava. And they start taking this boat across a lake. And at some point, Brosnan realizes that the water is acidic.
Yes. Turned to acid.
It's starting to eat through the boat.
It's starting to eat through the boat. Now the science on this, I was very
skeptical. This is the first thing I researched. Okay. Because I thought, really, really? And I went online and I looked. And sure enough, there are some crater lakes near volcanoes that have an acidity that's about as acidic as it gets, a 0.1 pH.
Okay.
And this does happen. I don't know how quickly it happens. I don't know how far away the body of water needs to be. I'm not sure.
Just as it's portrayed in the movie.
Well, of course.
The speed of the acidity seemed to be interesting to the point where...
Well, I like when Linda Hamilton has to point out, too, that acid eats through metal.
Yes.
She's like, acid eats through metal?
Yeah.
She should have looked at the camera.
Like, yeah.
The title card on the screen was...
Let me handle the science.
Did you realize, by the way, this is the second movie we've done for this podcast where the main characters sing Row, 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 Row,
I was going to say.
In harmony.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What was the other one?
Star Trek 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they're going through, and at one point, Brosnan flips the motor up, and the acid ate through the prop on the motor. This is where I started to be like, really?
Yeah, this is starting to get a little...
Now we're pushing it a little bit.
I told you, acid eats metal.
So he hand... Even though...
He, like, wraps his hand in, like, impossible. His jacket,
it's
and
just
he's,
a
like,
jacket.
Hand-rowing it.
And he's hand-rowing it in,
this
which...
thing is melting
here comes
metal.
To my favorite scene, when the grandma's like, fuck this, and she jumps into the water, which is acid, and she starts like guiding the boat in.
Yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan's like, no, it's acid, and she like jumps in the acid.
Wouldn't her legs be like burned off?
Well, this was acid, if acid eats metal, it definitely eats through flesh.
Because
she dies a scene later.
Yeah.
And she died of acid leg?
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Well, you see her legs, and they're not like burned off. They're just kind of blistered.
They look blistered, yeah. But like she just dies.
She's like, I'm done.
Yeah, I was like
this thing is eating through the metal on a boat in like 5 minutes. I feel like you're 30 seconds in the water, your legs are going to be to the bone.
That's what I thought. Because they were showing your legs.
Paddled for like a solid two minutes with his
jacket.
Here, put my jacket around your legs.
Yeah. That's where John Connor got the idea for the Terminator.
Yes.
There you go. Situations like that.
That's, yeah. He saw his grandmother's death and said, what if she had had robotic, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And he got that idea also from when the Terminator committed suicide at the end of T2 by going down in that acid.
Yep.
That's right. He figured it would work because he knew from experience.
That would, what if that's how the grandma died? She started sinking to the bottom of the lake. She was just like,
thumbs up.
Thumbs up, down.
Yeah. Yeah. So then luckily, everybody in movies knows how to hotwire a car.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
They can get into a truck.
If not, the keys are already in the ignition.
Yeah, why does everybody... I don't know how to hotwire a car. Am I behind the curve?
I don't know. I just feel like we haven't been in enough movies. Or,
that's how I start my car every day. Just
hotwire it. Just get outside, that'd be badass.
Pull under the dash. This movie does have one scene that I thought was pretty cool, which was the scene of the trucks trying to cross the river that's kind of flooding over.
Oh, when the bridge collapses?
When the bridge collapses. I actually thought that scene was pretty well done. Well, I mean, it gets ridiculous at the very end.
Well, we're grading it on a curve, but yeah, it was a good scene.
It was intense, yeah.
A pretty intense scene.
Until I realized that the boss, the mayor from Jaws, was in a van by himself.
Why is he in his own car?
Yeah. Everyone else is like, when roads are crumbling in front of you,
why wouldn't you like consolidate the vehicles?
Absolutely. Well, and also, he's just
he had all that equipment. He didn't want the equipment to get destroyed.
Well, I guess so. But he's just like in a minivan. They're in like Humvees.
Yes. They're in like the Batmobile from Batman Begins.
Yeah. So the bridge collapses. And for some reason, Pierce Brosnan's boss doesn't get out of his car and literally just jump from the bridge to the road. Despite the fact that the entire team is like, get out of the car and jump. Like, they're all telling him to do it. He continues to try to drive the car. Even at the point when the road is like 45 degrees,
he's still trying to jump the gap.
So there was a quick scene, we should say. He had had a walkie-talkie conversation with Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, this made me laugh too. I don't even know, was it a walkie-talkie? But it made me laugh because he's like, the volcano's exploding, ash is raining down, he's going to try to save this kid's, you know, these kids' grandmother and everything. And the boss is like, you were right, I'm sorry. And Brosnan is like, it's okay, see you later. And he just like drives away.
I thought it would have been funnier if Brosnan was like, no kidding.
Yeah, no, yeah, this, no this kidding. Is all
yeah,
your
I,
fault.
I think that's been pretty well established that I was right.
I wanted to be like a little, like, he's just like, it's okay, see you later.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah.
I appreciate your honesty. And thousands of people are dead because of
Yeah. Massive casualties, so yeah. So the boss gets swept away in the river.
And there's a Wilhelm scream here too, which I thought was
That killed the moment. Yeah. It was very inappropriate. Yeah.
And now Brosnan and the family are now in this truck. I didn't even remember that the grandmother had a dog, but all of a sudden,
they're like,
there's the dog. And they're
somehow
like,
the dog survived.
Yeah, the dog jumps into the truck.
This is the ridiculous scene where he drives across the lava.
Yeah.
Like, this is the second stupid thing he does. Like, he stops, there's lava, and he's like, damn it, lava. And then Linda Hamilton says, you can't drive over that, can you? And he says, yeah, I have no idea. And then he like throws the car in reverse dramatically to get a running start, I guess. And then they drive on top of the lava and the truck catches on fire.
The tires are on fire.
Fire burns rubber, doesn't it?
And they continue, not only do they continue to drive this truck, Pierce Brosnan now gets back to the camp where they have their equipment. He goes in and grabs this piece of equipment that we briefly saw in a terrible attempt at a callback earlier in the movie, this thing called an elf, throws it in the truck, gets back in that same truck, starts off and continues driving off. What is he driving on?
They're magic tires.
Yeah.
And like, I love how the car is on fire until they successfully get across the lava, and then whew, the fire's out, the lava's gone, and it's again one of those stupid like triumphant scenes where he succeeds and the music swells and yeah, but it's like no, that gas tank would explode. You're screwed. You just killed that family. You roasted alive. That's what happens.
And what put out the burning tires?
Just not being on the lava, I guess.
Air. Yeah, just air. Yeah.
Did you see how pumped Pierce Brosnan was when they saved the dog?
He was pretty pumped.
After they said he was like, yeah,
just get the tumble. He's in this side
and like, yeah. He did like three times.
Yeah. Finally won one.
So was he whistling at the dog? Like he started making this weird noise. Was he just whistling at the dog, hoping that the dog would hear him from like inside the truck? Go get the dog. And he starts going, you know, there's this really weird whistle he does.
Maybe. The dog also had, like, I guess it's the jump the dog makes to get into the truck is impressive, but the shots they took of the dog earlier, the dog seems really disinterested in, yeah, like, what's happening and just is kind of like, I don't know.
I could stay here.
Yeah. Could take a leave this family, to be honest with you.
I'm going to stay on the mountain.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, he's like the grandmother.
Yeah.
I'm going down with the ship.
Yeah. What are you here for?
You know what's funny is that they threw in like kind of like a creepy scene where when like they came. Actually, well, I just saw that movie, The Visit, so I have like creepy grandmothers in my brain.
Oh.
What if like they came and like the grandmother like had a butcher's knife just randomly? She's like, "What are you doing here?"
Yeah, that would have.
And then the kids are like, "Okay, Grandma, see you later." And that was the last you saw of her. Grandma had dementia. Yeah.
So now some kind of big gas cloud is coming out of the volcano and they have to outrun
pyroclastic flow.
Yeah.
I think is what it's called.
They have to outrun the explosion.
Watch, watch your language.
Superheated gas that precedes what killed the lava everyone flow in Pompeii. And that's basically what killed everyone in Pompeii. Yep.
Okay. And so they just are barreling through the town and they go crashing into the mine that was so terribly established
the
earlier.
The callback. We're going to go to the mine for protection.
Which Brosnan somehow remembers. Now, by the way, he's never seen the inside of this mine, nor have we as the audience, but he drives a truck full speed through the door. I was half wondering, like, boy, I hope there's not a 90-foot drop-off or a wall.
Like, the kid's like, no, don't go through that
for something you've never seen before, Pierce Brosnan.
This movie is just full of driving risks. He's going to drive through water. He's going to drive over lava. He's going to drive through a wooden barricade to get through an unseen cave.
Yeah. So now that they're inside the mine, we get the other callback, which was terribly established. Because earlier we'd seen Robot Guy take this heavy pack off of the robot that he wanted to send down to the crater. They never told us what it was, just that it was called an elf unit.
They said something about NASA.
And something about NASA, never told us what it was. Now, late in the movie, we find out it's a NASA tracking device. Yeah. So even as a callback, this failed, because we're like, okay, this still is basically a Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, I didn't know what the deal was with that thing, because when the thing wasn't working and the robot guy took it off the robot, I was like, what did that do?
Yeah.
Why did that fix that? What is this thing?
What is this? What does this even do? Yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan's reaction once they get into the cave, it's once again just like a completely disproportionate reaction. He's like, oh, no! I'm like, oh, what happened? He's like, oh, I left the tracking device. And I thought he meant like, oh, he like left, like I thought I saw him put it in the car, but oh, did he leave it? He's like, oh, I gotta go back and get in the car.
Yeah. So he's gonna like walk back.
I mean, it turned into a big deal, but like,
yeah.
Why was that?
Yeah, I knew something
deal?
Had to be like, coming, because it's like, why have him forget it in the car? It seems like so.
Well, and especially because
something must be coming that.
Yeah, and how did he forget it? I mean, he didn't. It's not like he had something else with him even. So he goes back, the cave starts to collapse, a rock lands on Brosnan and gives him a compound fracture of his arm. Keep that
like
in mind.
The bone sticking
We're
out.
We're seeing his bone out of his arm.
Pretty brutal.
He still manages to climb into the truck, and the big climactic hero moment is him flipping a switch.
Yep.
which is just funny.
And then we get the rescue montage.
I thought for sure, because they show him climbing into the car and then like there's like an avalanche above him and the car, it's getting like crushed in.
Yeah.
I thought for sure they were like going to have him like kick it and then like the thing was going to collapse and he died saving the family or like...
Right.
Because they show the car is collapsing at a rapid rate.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it goes from being completely fine to like 30 seconds later, Pierce Brosnan has like no room with which to like move. He's like pinned inside the car with a compound fracture.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So finally, then, like, one of the guys on the team is, like, looking at their equipment. He's like, hey, how long this light's been flashing? And someone's like, I don't know. And they say,
I love this line.
A couple days.
1 to 2 days.
He says a day or two.
A day
or two. He had no idea what it was. Oh, the blinking light. Ultrasonic.
A day or two. So now the rescue crews come in and are able to, like, it's like the Chilean miners. They, like, pull them out. Brosnan just walks out. He has a compound fracture for days. He should be bleeding out.
And he's been in a collapsed car, not able to move for 48 hours?
Yeah. He walks out on his own power, and no even medical staff around him. He's hugging people. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What? They bring out Linda Hamilton. They have a makeout session, which mm-hmm. is, like, gross.
And then they keep showing the shots of the kids going, yeah, like they're accepting him as their new dad.
Oh, there's an extra.
Yeah, there's like really creepy amount of like enthusiasm on the kid's part about
like
this kissing.
Like a 6-year-old girl is trying to get her mom laid.
Yeah, mom's gonna get laid!
And if you watch this again, right?
Oh, yes, I know.
Kid,
yeah, the guy with the hard hat. Yeah, I know.
He's
that.
Guy going crazy.
Like, oh my god, how the director not be like, cut? All right, Bob, like,
you got
I appreciate
it.
Your enthusiasm, but
you
got take it down.
Well, just like the coffee guy, he has to have some characterization.
He looks like a football player on the sideline that they just won the Super Bowl. He's going nuts.
And I think it's funny too. They show like in the like he was on a different level than all the other extras, but all the other extras are like military people, cops, rescue crews, and they've all like stopped what they're doing and they're all like clapping and like high fiving each other. It's like
you guys have
like a job to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there other people to save?
Yeah, or shouldn't they be like, hey, is there anybody else in there?
I know Brosnan has to tell like 4 people, like, there's still people in there before anybody does anything.
Yeah.
And also, they obviously got to Pierce Brosnan first, because he was right at the entrance of the mine. They showed like the whole mine collapsed a little later on, pinning Linda Hamilton and her 2 kids in that back section of the mine.
Right.
But after they say Brosnan, Linda Hamilton and the kids come out like 30 seconds later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, wouldn't that take like days to like
now,
take all those rocks out
and
stabilize it?
Yeah.
Make sure it be safe?
At this point,
just walk right out.
At this point, I'd like to mention that the first sign that Pierce Brosnan saw, obviously the audience saw the boiling couple first, but the first sign that Pierce Brosnan saw that there may have been a volcano was an excess of carbon dioxide gas, which was killing the trees and the squirrels. Now, if you're underground near a volcano, would that not have also be like an area where that gas would collect?
I would think
now,
so.
I don't know the science.
I was thinking this mine seems like it would be
the
unsafest
place,
Jack, to be. You know, yeah, this mine would probably, I don't know.
It could have been filled with toxic gas, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
he's taking a big risk, like driving over that lava.
So always a risk driving over lava.
Also, the ending had the lamest callback too, considering the callback was from like 5 minutes before.
Oh yeah, yeah. Or do you want to talk about the dialogue that takes us out of
the
movie?
Fishing thing. Yeah.
Do you remember this?
Yeah, they're in the mine right when they get in the mine, and before Pierce Brosnan has to go back and get the freaking GPS thing. But before he goes back, he wants to reassure the kids. He's like, "We're gonna get out of this, and when we do." Have you guys ever been deep sea fishing? They're all like, no. I haven't either. So we're all gonna go deep sea fishing once we get out of this. I'd be like, all right, if I'm like in a scenario where like I'm not sure I'm gonna make it out alive, like come up with something better than
deep sea fishing.
Like fishing, it's fun.
Yeah.
But if we're like, okay, that's the only thing, that's what I'm clinging to.
Yeah.
To keep me alive. I want to be like, screw that. Like, let's go on like a vacation to like Europe or.
I know. Like,
have you kids ever been to McDonald's?
I know. Yeah.
I'm like, man, wait a
thank God, 2-for-1 McFish. We should try that out.
So then,
have you guys ever been to Arby's?
Yeah. You guys ever been to one of those Six Flags parks? I mean, not Disney World. I mean, I don't know where we are, but, you know, we could go to a Six Flags.
We're totally
you know?
Going to see Caucus, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then they're on
the
helicopter.
See a taping of the Steve Wilkos show.
They're on the helicopter being evacuated from the scene. John Connor says to Pierce Brosnan, Pierce, did you mean what you said about that deep sea fishing? Can we still go? And he's like, absolutely.
I kind of wanted him to say no.
Credits.
That's it.
The end.
That was the payoff?
Yeah, did you mean what you said about taking us fishing? Sure did. End of movie. That's it. That's it.
Like, why not just have you have their survival isn't certain, and then it goes to like 1 year later, and they are deep sea fishing, and then you know that they're happy and they survived, and then you do the
see, and I flashback
the pull out, and that's it.
During this, when they're flying over the town with in the helicopter, I was hoping for like a sliver moment with the deleted scene where they're flying over over the volcano.
I did for a moment when I was watching it. I wanted
to push John Connor out.
I did for a moment at the end as they're leaving on the rescue chopper, have like Pierce Brosnan kind of like freak out for a second and be like, hey, what do we know about this chopper pilot?
Is it his lunch break?
They pan over and it's the same chopper pilot. He's just got a smile.
Yeah, I was going to say that. He has like a scarred face.
And then it says, James Bond will return.
He's I'd like please say, take us back home. He's like, yeah, we'll get there. Where do you see my bill, Chris?
I did like that Pierce Brosnan's name in this film was Dalton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really am surprised that they didn't do one more shot at a helicopter pilot.
It was a strange time to like.
I hear this helicopter. Are we gonna go deep sea fishing? Well, we won't. This asshole helicopter pilot ever gets us there.
I don't know, son. I had to pay all that money for the helicopter ride.
Sorry, his ride was too much.
Enjoy it while it lasts.
Vacation's canceled. All right, let's do our.
That's the end credit scene. He gets the bell after, and he shows it to the kids. I'm sorry.
Just opening the bill. covered by insurance. Not covered by insurance.
Guys, I have terrible news. We're not going to be able to go on that deep sea fishing trip.
All right, let's do a quick. So wrong, it's right. Now, here's our question. One of the actors in this movie, not Pierce Brosnan or Linda Hamilton, a smaller actor. Actually,
smaller in stature?
Well, maybe. Linda Hamilton seems like a tall lady. Yeah. I don't know. For much of the mid-2000s through the, like, 2010, you know, to now, is actually one of the most powerful producers in Hollywood. One of the actors who is in this movie is now much better known in Hollywood as a producer.
Is it Jerry Bruckheimer?
No, wait. Oh, yeah, Jerry Bruckheimer.
I might know this, maybe.
So yeah, we'll take guesses on this.
Oh, wait, someone who's died?
No. Who's in the movie? Someone who's an actor who's in this movie became
a small part in the film is played by someone who would later become a powerful producer.
Yes,
okay. I'm gonna go with Coffee Guy.
I was gonna say Coffee Guy.
So we have to say which character it was or which producer it was.
No, which character. I'll go with the shady businessman guy. Oh, shady businessman guy.
Okay.
Helicopter pilot.
Okay. Brian is right. It's Coffee Guy. Grant Heslov, who became George Clooney's producing partner and basically was a producer on just about every George Clooney movie from the mid-2000s to now.
Yeah. Well, he found that he was better behind the camera than he was in front of it.
I think
so. All due to coffee.
I'm not even sure about this.
Well, he's used to ordering people around to get coffee. That's what producers do.
I'm wondering if Grant Heslov
now
is actually.
Now it's coffee time.
I wonder if he's actually won an Oscar. I'm going to have to look that up because I don't know if he was. Because if he was a producer on The Descendants or not. But but yeah, so that was interesting. All right, so we'll do.
What if he did Gravity?
Oh, maybe. I'll have to look that up. My phone is somewhere else. All right, so we'll do. People
burner.
At home, feel free to
your
feel free.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, my burner phone.
You left it at home. Damn it! I left my burner phone in the car.
Yeah, McNulty's been
go out
tracking
there
me.
And Alex is pinned in his car trying to get his burner phone.
For 2 days.
Yeah.
What's that, Alex? Your bone sticking out of your leg?
Yeah. Don't worry, I've got a few more days before
we call
I bleed
the,
out.
We called the chopper pilot. He'll be here.
Oh no!
How long has Alex been trapped in his car? Yeah. 2-3 days.
I don't have that much money on me.
You're going to have to do some overtime, but we have a helicopter pilot.
I'm going
to
charge you an arm and a leg, literally.
So here's the question. Is it so bad it's good? Jack,
yes,
start with you this
sure
week.
There's enough ridiculous stuff in it where it's so bad it's good.
Okay. Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd definitely watch it again.
Yeah, Cody?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was terrible. Kind of enjoyed it. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's not like it wasn't like Pompeii.
There's stuff in it, like there's a fair amount of technical skill that like keeps it watchable. And I do, this made me think of this the whole way through. Linda Hamilton is pretty good in a part that gives her nothing to do.
Yeah.
And yet she actually sort of builds a compelling character out of it.
And Brosnan was fine too. Yeah, like the acting wasn't particularly bad. It was just the dialogue.
I think any volcano movie you're going to get is going to be ridiculous though.
It's like, going to be, yeah, it's the concept and the script are ridiculous. Yeah. It's well acted and actually competently well made.
Has there ever been a good volcano movie?
I don't know, because there's also the Tommy Lee Jones
volcano. Came out the same year. This is one of those instances where Hollywood was producing two volcano movies at the same time.
Well, this is the era of like natural disasters.
Like the two tornado films. Yeah, they did. Yeah, these they did the two. The
Armageddon and Deep Impact.
Armageddon and Deep Impact. Yep, the two asteroids.
I noticed during the opening credits, this movie had three editors credited to it, which means that they were probably literally editing 24 hours a day on this, I'm guessing, to beat Volcano to the punch.
I think it's because I remember seeing both these movies when I was younger, and I couldn't remember much about Dante's Peak, but I remember kind of liking Volcano. But after watching this one again, I think this is definitely better than Volcano. I think Volcano is like in LA, so it's kind of ridiculous.
Yes.
Well, Volcano is more like a fantasy action adventure flick, where this is more trying to be scientific.
Yeah. It's a fun movie. We've really slogged through some rough ones lately.
It is it's very slow to start, though.
It is a slow starter. Yeah. But it was watchable.
It needed its coffee.
It needed its coffee. Exactly.
This wasn't like Jupiter Ascending, where there was a point where I didn't know if I was going to make it. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, this is bad. Wow. I think that does it. I'm very excited to see what pictures we'll have from this movie.
Yeah.
On the Stop the Movie Facebook page.
There's plenty. You have to get those.
You can get updates on our Twitter feed, which is Wind Up Films on Twitter, at Wind Up Films. Mm-hmm. And we make this plug. We've had a couple of reviews come in. If you are a fan of the show, just take a second on iTunes.
No one's given us a review in years.
Really?
Yeah, we keep plugging it, but no one gives us
reviews. We've had some star reviews. We'd like to get a few more star reviews or whatever kind of review you want to give.
Good news. Yeah. No reviews are good reviews.
Well, our reviews are good reviews, to think. Maybe some people just don't like reviewing reviews. Maybe it seems too redundant.
But who reviews the reviewer is the question.
True. There needs to be,
Got to be checks and balances.
Yeah, there does. Yeah. There does.
Yeah. I just turned my own brain inside out on that. So, all right. We'll be back here very soon. And I don't know what movies we're going to be doing, but very soon we'll be headed into our horrible
The best time of year.
And maybe, actually, you know what? I'm going to roll the dice. I am going to pitch one of the movies we're going to do at some point during horrible Halloween. And that will be Leprechaun in Space. I've been wanting to do it for years.
Have it on DVD over here, I think.
Leprechaun in Space is going to be one of the films we do in horrible Halloween.
Which means we'll get to it in a year or two.
In a year or two. I know the risks of pitching a movie, but I've been wanting to see Leprechaun in Space, so we're going to do that one. All right, we'll see you back here next time. Bye.